Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code R/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code R/ at liquidiv.com. Today's episode is sponsored by Adam and Eve. You know, I read so many stories about cheating partners and unhappy marriages. Maybe people wouldn't be in such unhappy relationships if they spent more time nurturing their love life. That's why you should check out today's sponsor, Adam and Eve. They've got toys for men, toys for women, and toys for... how should I put this? Well, it's not exactly R/ am I the butthole, more like R/ I'm in the butthole. And yeah, I realize that ordering adult toys can be a little scary because you may be concerned about privacy. Don't worry, Adam and Eve offers discreet and free shipping for your package. Trust me, these people are experts in your package. You can get 50% off on just about any item, along with free shipping and rush processing. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Then enter code R/ at checkout. That's R/, R-S-L-A-S-H at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code R/ to get your discount, plus 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Use code R/. Welcome to R/ Best of Redditor Updates, where OP discovers that her husband is having an affair with their son's 18-year-old girlfriend. Our next Reddit post comes from R/ Legal Advice. For some background, I no longer get along with either of my parents. I bought a car when I was 16 and still living with them, and they believe that makes it theirs. The title and everything else was originally in my mother's name, but it's been in my name for 3 years now. It's mine and my only car. When I moved out, my parents tried to call in what they called debts of a minor, which they tried to convince me was a legal term, saying if I took my support away from them, then they had the right to recall all money involved in raising me. What? I went away for 2 weeks in September, and I left my car with my brother, who I still get on well with. He's still in contact with my parents. They visited him a couple of times while I was away, and on the last visit, they stole the keys to the car from him and drove off with it. My brother told me immediately, and I said that I'd deal with it when I got back. I went to my parents to get my car, and they said they sold it, and the $8,000 they got for it was to go towards the debts of a minor. And they informed me that... whoa, what? They informed me that I now have only about $180,000 to go before I paid them off. I called the police immediately to report it stolen, and they seemed to prefer to listen to my parents, who said the title was in their name. I have the title in my name, however. The advice from the cops was to work it out between ourselves. Useless. So now I'm stuck with no car, and my parents refuse to tell me where it is. It's my car, and I can prove it. Who do I have to talk to get this car retrieved? Are the cops right that I have to beg the people who took my car to give it back to me? Then, 16 days later, OP posted an update. All I needed was a less stupid police officer. I went to the station in person with all the documentation proving that my car is my vehicle and was with my brother. And I clearly stated that my car had been stolen and sold, and I know who did it. This time, the officer I dealt with treated everything seriously and actually listened. I had my car back within 2 days. My parents had taken it and hadn't sold it like they claimed, but were renting it to someone they knew. The car was retrieved from the rentee's house. My mother's been charged with a crime, and I've also been questioned about my parents' drug use. I'm over the moon that what my parents did trying to rip me off has shown more light on their behavior. As a bonus, this was the last straw for my brother. He'd been living under our parents' thumb, and this gave him enough reason to also cut them off. I have my car back, and as a bonus, I also have my brother back too. You know, this debts of a minor thing is redonkulous, bonkers, crazy, nutso stuff, but you guys want to hear something interesting? My wife is Chinese, and she was explaining to me last time we were over there a couple months ago that in China, parents can actually sue their parents for late life care. So like if you're 80 or 90 and, you know, you're old and can't really take care of yourself, you can sue your kid, your adult kid, to take care of you, and the courts will always agree with the old people. Isn't that crazy? So that means in China, when you're like 30 or 40 and you have a family, you're supporting in both directions. You're supporting your older generation, your parents above you, by giving them money. And you're supporting the younger generation, your kids, by raising them and giving them money. So, ugh, brutal. Our next Reddit post comes from r/survivinginfidelity. I'm a 41-year-old woman and a stay-at-home mom. My husband, Paul, who's 48, works in finance. We've been married for nearly 20 years. We have two kids, Eric, our 18-year-old son, currently a senior in high school, and Mary, our 15-year-old daughter. They're both the lights of my life. My marriage with my husband has grown somewhat stale over the years for a myriad of reasons, such as his work schedule and how I've aged poorly since we first met. Our son, Eric, has a girlfriend who's 18, whom he's been dating since they were freshmen in high school. We'll call her Amy. Eric absolutely adores Amy. She's his first love, and she's someone I've always considered as family. This makes the whole situation emotionally excruciating for me. Last week, I inadvertently saw my husband's phone screen, and I got a glimpse of a text thread between my husband and Amy, our son's girlfriend, and I read what looked like a message of her telling him that she misses sucking his C-word. I froze in place, in complete disbelief. I spent most of the day convincing myself that I must have misread what I saw. However, I didn't misread it because over the last several days, I discovered a file on his computer filled with tons of BDSM adult videos. He clearly has an addiction. He also has saved photos of Amy from her Instagram on his computer. Although they weren't inappropriate, she was fully clothed. It was still the proof I needed to confirm that I wasn't going crazy. I also looked at his phone during opportune moments and saw more of their interactions. I wish I'd never looked. They were filled with mean, horrible things said at my expense, with him constantly comparing me to her. He would call me fat and old, among other things, with Amy LOLing. I've always had hunches or paranoid feelings that Paul's been cheating on me, but never in a million years could I fathom something like this. Last month, I found a thong in our bedroom that I know wasn't mine. I turned a blind eye to it, being naive and acting like maybe it was our daughter's, even though that made zero sense. Not only is he cheating on me, but he's betraying our son. I'm completely devastated. I don't even think words can adequately describe the dread, anger, shock that I feel right now. I'm totally overwhelmed on how to handle this because obviously action needs to be taken. But I'm terrified of what kind of psychic blow this will be for my son. I have no idea how to even broach this completely messed up topic with him. I wouldn't wish this predicament on my worst enemy. I can't even believe I married this scumbag in the first place. Then my mind started to race, and I realized that I had noticed specifically unusual behavior from him around the same time that Amy turned 18. Was he waiting for her to turn 18 before pursuing this affair? There's so many layers to all of this, and I'm completely paralyzed with fear and dread about it all. None of this makes any sense. How did this happen? Am I that much of a stupid idiot that I let all this happen under my watch? Eric adores Amy, and the thought of revealing this sickening truth to him terrifies me. The impact on his young heart and mind could be devastating. My heart aches for my son and daughter, who are completely innocent bystanders. I haven't confronted my husband about this because I'm frankly scared of the domino effect. Then, about 1 week later, OP posted an update. My brother connected me to a very tough lawyer. I saved screenshots of all my husband's conversations with Amy. I was only able to get the last 3 months from the iCloud. The conversations were mostly flirty and dirty talk. It was hard to stomach, completely sleazy, and I saw several negative things about me. His call history showed that he talks with her for hours, pretty consistently. He also uses dating apps. I took screenshots of his profiles and all the active chats that he has with his matches. It is very clear that he uses a filter to seek out girls who are between 18 and 22. I copied all the files that he has on his computer. He goes to adult chat rooms and forums, and he spends a ton of money on OF. I rummaged through every possible hiding spot that I could think of in the house. He had various toys, blindfolds, handcuffs, lubricants, etc. He also had different outfits, which looked kind of like girls' Catholic school uniforms and French maid type outfits too. I picked up my kids from school and we all drove to my brother's. They were both able to sense that something was awry when I picked them up. I delicately told them the entire situation and I broke down crying. My daughter Mary had the most anger, even more than Eric. I met with Amy's mother and told her everything. She confiscated Amy's phone and gave me the entire chat log. It only dated back 3 months ago, just like my husband's iCloud, almost as if they both deleted the messages at the same time. She told me that Amy sobbed when confronted. Amy basically told her mother that she'll never understand and that she and him are in love. I don't want to get into too many details with what else she was saying, but suffice to say, it's very easy to assume that my husband slowly and methodically became a sage-like figure in her life, making her feel like she could rely on him, and he took advantage of the fact that she came from a broken home. Amy is also non-stop insistent that their friendship only became physical recently, and before that, he was more of a friend/mentor. I confronted my husband Paul over Zoom. The look on his face was scary. He became red and looked so sweaty. He had anger and panic in his eyes. His tone of voice was very defensive and frightening. He kept yelling the word context over and over again and said, "None of that happened." He was unable to speak without constant stutters and intensity. Nothing really made any sense to me. I refused to tell him where I was, and he said that I had no right to take his kids away from him, and then he abruptly left the Zoom. My lawyer is filing for temporary sole custody of Mary and a restraining order. Mary is still the most angry. She is totally furious with her dad and Amy. Justifiably so, of course. Mary keeps thinking about moments and times that she watched her dad interact with her friends, and she's in knots about it. Eric is very clearly hurting, but he's so strong and very level-headed. He wants to see a therapist. The maturity my kids are showing makes me proud. They don't deserve this at all. We made the authorities aware of everything. I plan on being completely unforgiving and ruthless in this divorce. I'm reflecting on how I've been treated and how it's made me a shell of myself and how I've had a very negative opinion of myself because of him over the last 20 years. I don't want to let this scumbag get away with it. I want to reinvent myself and move on stronger than ever. Then down in the comments, people are asking OP questions. Someone asks, "How is your son holding up? What's developed between him and Amy?" And OP responds, "He hasn't spoken to Amy yet since finding out the news, and I'm not sure if he ever will again." Another person asks, "Have you confirmed if the thong that you found in your bedroom was Amy's?" OP replies, "I confirmed that it wasn't my daughter's. She said that it wasn't hers, and I know that it wasn't mine, so who else's could it be?" And someone says, "Wait, are you saying that they passionately hugged in the master bedroom?" And OP says, "Yes, I believe that he did." Both me and my son are going to get tested and checked out as well. There's no telling how many different women he's been sleeping around with. As for Amy, her mom's been in contact with me, and Amy's been threatening to run away with my husband because they're in love. Then, 1 week later, OP posted another update. "We're all safe and still at my brother's house. We're very careful and his house is secured. Paul's tried to call my cell phone several times a day, but I refuse to interact with him, and I'll have my lawyer handle all correspondence. He scares me, frankly. My brother has a very secure house with an alarm system and deadbolt locks. We feel safe with him." Both my son and I got checked out and tested. It appears so far that we're both clean based on the immediate rapid tests, but in the coming days, we'll know for certain when the lab results come in. I'm not overly concerned. Eric is scheduled to see a therapist early next week, which is very good and needed. He's not himself right now. He seems a bit shell-shocked, and I'm concerned. He's not interested in corresponding with his dad at all. My husband only calls my cell phone, and he hasn't tried to reach out to Eric or Mary. I get the sense that Paul is extremely nervous. He's scared, and I think he knows deep down that if this situation is thoroughly investigated, he would be in big trouble. That's what my gut is telling me. I still think about that Zoom call with him, and the more that I think about it, the more it looked like he was a man whose entire world was crashing down on him. The panic in his face was very apparent. I told Mary that I would make an appointment with the therapist for her as well, but she doesn't want to see one yet. She's open to it eventually, but wants time for herself. She's been asking her friends about her dad, and if they experienced any creepiness from him. Her friends were open and honest with her, and apparently, they felt like he stared a lot, and they sensed his hovering presence whenever they were over. One of Mary's friends went so far as to say that she felt like he was checking her out a lot, like looking at her butt and complimenting the color of her yoga pants. At the time, it wasn't a big deal, but in light of everything that's happened, it seems strange now. He would sit himself in different areas or vantage points to get a good view of her, she claimed. He also asked questions about what kind of friend group or which clique they were in at school. He kept asking if they were the popular girls. I'm completely embarrassed that they had this experience at our house. As for Amy, I completely agree that she's also a victim. A lot of people have been emphasizing that, and I agree. I've done everything I could in my own power to indirectly get her opportunities to get her help. Amy is, unfortunately, still living in her delusions, and I can only pray that she'll come to her senses. She doesn't want to see any doctors or therapists, and she's been constantly trying to reach Paul because, again, she believes that they're in love. From what I've been told, she hasn't been able to get a hold of him, and he's been avoiding communication with her completely. Amy blames me for that and believes that I took away his devices and that I'm very controlling. Any truth that her mother tries to convey to her is met with conspiracy theories and hostility. Amy looks at me as a villain and still sees Paul through these rose-colored glasses. Her mother showed Amy screenshots of my husband's dating app profiles and matches, and she refuses to believe it, saying that I photoshopped it. Amy keeps saying things like, everyone is just mad because she found herself a real man, and that I'm jealous because she takes care of him better than I do. This is in line with some of the conversations that I screenshot, where a lot of what Paul says is him complaining about things that I won't do for him sexually. Right now, Amy is insistent that she and Paul will end up together in the long run. Ugh, honestly, he's a slimeball. I can only hope that Amy comes to her senses. Then, a few weeks later, OP posted another update, which I'm gonna summarize because it's very long and I'll just get to the juicy parts. Basically, the divorce is still underway. OP and OP's two kids are all processing their emotions. One of the interesting details that comes out here is that apparently Amy had been going to an all-girl Catholic school, which would probably explain the Catholic uniforms that OP's husband had hidden around the house. And now I'll go back to reading straight from the post. I wish I had a better Amy update, but it's gotten a lot worse since the last update. Paul has actually been seeing Amy, despite her mother trying to force her not to see him. According to Amy's mom, Amy says that she's 18, an adult, and can do what she wants. Her mother is in a precarious spot because if she kicks Amy out of the house for defying her, she would just run to Paul permanently. The time that she spends with Paul has increased over the last week, despite the fact that Paul initially ghosted her when all this hit the fan. There were some days when Amy would be gone from home for hours on end. Oh my God, what a post! You know what it sounds like? This is total speculation, I can't back this up, but I'm just saying, based on my hunch, it sounds like this had been going on before she turned 18, which means this guy would be in trouble, big trouble, if this got investigated. So I think what this guy did was, as soon as everything came out, he initially just tried to control the situation and then realized, I can't control anything because my wife is going scorched earth. So I think what he realized is he has to get Amy back on his good side and control her, because if she confesses that this went on before she was 18, then this dude's screwed. So he has to get her under his thumb and control the narrative, otherwise dude's going to jail. So I think that's probably why he's seeing Amy right now instead of trying to fix things with his marriage. I mean, it is possible that this is just what he wants. You know, maybe he just does want to be with her. But, you know, let's be honest, guys. Does anyone really think that he waited until she was 18? Does anyone really think that? Nah, man. Nah. Man, what a piece of garbage. A P-word, betrayed his wife, betrayed his son, betrayed his daughter. What actual human filth? I sincerely hope this guy gets shafted in the divorce and goes to jail.
That was our /bestofredditor updates. And if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.